wrestling art with Chris things.
Do the hammer lock.
This is a weird little thing. I'm a bit out of the habit, but I think you have stumbled across another episode of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. This is the show. This is my podcast, I guess. My little old nonsense session where I talk about some wrestling art. I talk to other wrestling artists sometimes, and other times like this, I talk about my favorite matches that I happen to watch that week, that I made arts of, and it became my Chris Things match of the week, and that's what this deal is. It's a bit weird. It's been a hot minute. The thing was, I went away on holiday with my dad to Vietnam. Bloody delightful. It's an amazing place. I'm a big fan of Anthony Bourdain, of No Reservations, of all of his different travel shows, and I think that was a big part of when, you know, Dad was like, "Hey, want to go to Vietnam?" Like, yeah, and man, it did not disappoint. It was even better than I thought it was going to be. So I was over there, and then we had this Chris Things match of the week year one book, you know, idea thing that I wanted to sort of announce and release once we got to the, you know, full year of this thing. So while I was over there, I was just editing this book, you know, adding everything together. Like, in my mind, I was like, you know, you had pretty much everything written up for the most part, had all of the art done, so I'm like, oh, I just have to whack it together, right? No. The whole editing process of doing a book like that, it's a bit of a thing. So I was doing that, you know, trying to keep up with new, fresh matches of the week while I was over there. There was a point where I was in this Vietnamese hotel room in Hanoi. I'd actually just gone to, like, a jazz club, and I was like, oh, shit, I've got a match of the week to do. I rushed back and was, yeah, doing this on the in some hotel room. And yeah, but I was making sure to keep that going. But then, you know, on the other hand, I took a bit of a break with this podcast because I wasn't gonna be able to do it over there, you know. And I didn't want to sacrifice a holiday to keep doing this thing. I hope you guys understand. I hope you all haven't just been like, all right, we're done. This is enough of a break. That's finished in my life now. But I'm back. It feels slightly odd because I've had a bit of, you know, break from the rhythm, but I'm back. I now have a shit ton of these matches of the week to get caught up on. So in this episode, I'm going to have my dear pal David on in a little bit later, and we're going to talk of the first two of them. Amazing Gladiator Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka FMW match that I adore. The amazing, Euphoria mask loss from the big CMLL anniversary show. So very excited about that. But man, that's just two. And then I've got so many more to do. I mean, I actually ended up, like, to give you guys an idea of how crazy hectic things are right now, I recorded this last week with David, and I just didn't have time to, you know, do the things to you know, fix the audio and all the things you have to do for a podcast, you know, to get that done last week. So this is the closest thing I got around to. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get it out this week at least. And then between those two things, last weekend I had Lucha Fantastica on Friday night at Brisbane, which is always a fun time. So stoked to be part of that, to have Señor Fantastico have me and my art table out, hawking my wares at his shows. Then we had Wrestling Club this past week back at Scratch, the second ever event at Scratch. And that was just so bloody lovely. You know, it seems like We're getting sort of a new little kind of family of regulars at this scratch versions of the wrestling club, which makes me very happy. You know, it's just me playing some weird matches that I feel are for fun and you know, maybe some stuff that other people might not have seen. But you know, it's a fun vibe, and I play some silly stuff in between, like. You know, I try to add in some weird little, like, kind of TV commercials, kind of try to, like, capture the vibe of, you know, the tape trader kind of thing that I grew up on, of, like, getting some wrestling show that's been recorded on who knows what VHS, and, you know, maybe one match after another or whatever. But, yeah, I added some weird stuff, like the Max Headroom kind of, like, segment from that like, TV interruption that happened, of that, like, the hackers that I think it happened in Chicago or something, yeah, where they, like, hacked into an episode of something, and yeah, just had some weird nonsense that ended up with a bare ass spanking on national television and a, like, FBI thing. But yeah, that's the kind of nonsense I'm all about. But it was super fun. And it's so nice just to get that support from people, you know, so I'm having fun with that. I was actually setting up today, that's why this episode is going to be coming out so late. I was setting up, I've got Supernova this weekend, which is going to be a massive 3-day event, kind of like an Australian version of Comic-Con, that kind of deal. So it's a bit of an experiment, right? So I don't know whether this is going to be my audience as, like, an art dude who makes, you know, wrestling-oriented art much of the time. So I don't know whether they're going to be my people. But what I've found with this art thing so far is you kind of have to just try different things. You know, go out on a limb and just see how it goes. And, you know, sometimes I do these things and it's not a great result, you know, and it just, I sometimes feel like that meme of Virgil, you know, wrestling superstar, just sitting there alone at his table, no one gives a shit, and I'm just there on my own. But then other times, you know, I'm just blown away by the amazing support that I get from people, and having some fantastic chats, and, you know, people saying super nice stuff about my art, and it giving me sort of the you know, renewed confidence to keep on going. So you get all in between. And I've been doing this long enough now to where I'm, like, trying to, you know, not be so bummed out, I guess, when the things don't go great. You have to be able to kind of pick yourself up, you know, like we've spoken about before. But, you know, it's hard sometimes. It's easier said than done. But at least I haven't done a decent number. I'm like, there's going to be good ones, there's going to be bad ones. You just have to keep doing it, because you never know, and you always have to keep putting yourself out there, as hard as that might be, if you're wanting this to be a thing. You know, I'm attempting to make this my full-time career, so that's what I have to do, and I'm happy to do it. So I'm excited and scared for this weekend at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre. Yeah, we'll see how it'll go. I'll keep you posted next time. And this is also kind of special, because that's, like, the in-person element of the book launch of the Chris Things Match of the Week Year One. This is kind of the in-person part where they're officially going to be on sale, so I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know if, again, I might be signing a whole bunch of books. We'll see how we go. But I really wanted to make sure today to say a massive thank you, because I think this is my first time I've spoken to y'all since all this, like, book release pre-order stuff has come out. But I have been so blown away by the amount of people that have, like, made pre-orders of the book. And who've supported and who bought this thing. You know, it's been like over a year now of doing this Match of the Week deal, where I post my favorite match every Friday, Australian time, you know, rain, hail, or shine. And a lot of it, I do it for myself to kind of have something to do and have a regularity and to have something that I'm proud to keep doing, you know. So it is kind of for me, but you know, obviously I also do it for you guys. And you know, from then I hear that people dig it or people, you know, I've been blown away of like you guys that have told me that you've gone and try to watch like all of the matches of the Match of the Week series, and yeah, people would have like bought the different prints. Some people that have bought like the original, like hand drawn pen drawings that are the start point of these Matches of the Week, the one and only original, which blows me away that people would want that and want to spend that much money for them. But it's very, very touching. So yeah, it feels. I don't know if I'm quite going to be able to put into words like kind of the feel of getting to this point, but I wanted to do something special for it, and that's what the book is, you know, trying to, I guess, make it you know, a thing. And I wrote a little, you know, forward in it and thank yous and stuff, so I hope you guys dig it. And yeah, it's again, blown me away by how many people have done pre-orders and everything like that. And that's the reason why I was like, I want to do something special, I want to give something back. So I did like this little, you know, bonus thank you Match of the Week art print that I've been giving everybody. So I've hit everyone up with an email of that. Most of you all have gotten back to me on that. If you haven't, please check your junk or hit me up so you don't get that email. Because I want to get you your print when I send out your book. But I think that's about it. I think we're ready for some Match of the Week action. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a bloody hot minute since I did one of these. So see if I remember how to actually do it, but this is our Match of the Week deal, and I would like to welcome to the show my dear pal, I don't say my best friend in the whole wide world, David, back to the show to talk about some lovely matches.
Hello, all. Good morning.
Dude, it feels so weird. Like, this is the first one back after the Vietnam trip. And then, shit, you know, shit's just been wild since I got back. So it's a little bit later than I would have hoped to resume this thing. But we're here now, and that's what counts, right?
A bit busy. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy whole week.
It has. I've had a book come out. I've just got the new bookie works that have arrived, and I'll be ready to start sending out. So I'm pretty happy about that. I've had just fresh off of a bloody Lucha Fantastica weekend in Melbourne. Another Lucha Fantastica show on Friday night, tomorrow night in bloody Brisbane. And then next week we've got Wrestling Club, so it's all happening.
No, I'm very jealous. So we should go to Lucia. Fantastic shows. I love it. I never got a chance to go to one. Like,
yeah, I have a foggy memory. A million years ago, when we used to live together in that apartment in West End, did we go to one at the old Boundary Street Markets? Was that like a million years ago version of Lucia Fantastica?
Was it West End or was it Newmarket? You think of the Newmarket one that we did in the back of the brewery?
No, I definitely remember us doing that one. But no, there was one I remember going to that had like Victor doing his amazing you know, Mexican ring announcing, and everyone wearing you know, fake luchador masks, and very early version maybe of what is the magic of Lucha Fantastica now.
Yeah. I just can't remember.
Yeah, I remember watching it from a rooftop while sinking some tinnies. Fond memories.
Sinking some tinnies. No, I can't remember.
Been
a while ago.
How has life been for you, my friend? It's been a hot minute since we've, you know, caught up properly.
Yeah, just busy, but pretty much the same old. Just been watching matches and renovating bathrooms. That's pretty much it.
Living the life.
Living the life, living the bloody UK dream over here. God, and what a dream it is.
What a dream it is.
You've been, You've been busy.
Yes, yes. I'm just longing for your return, man. One of these days, whenever it happens. That's all I'm doing. My living my days in and out, just waiting. Like, all right, one more day off the calendar till David gets back.
It's gay in the best possible way, Chris.
Yeah, as a bloody well should be. For all of our listeners, I'm not sure if I've ever shared this story, but there was one beautiful moment that I often think back of when it comes to David and I's friendship, where both of us, it was a New Year's Eve, both of us were in quite unhappy relationships at the time, and we decided that when that clock struck midnight, rather than make out with our partners, we decided it just felt more right to do a bloody good old mate kiss.
Be each other's good luck for the new year. And exactly. It did not go down well with our respective partners.
The significant others did not seem to appreciate it.
No, not at all. Anyway. You reap what you sow.
No regrets. I feel like everything shook out the way it was meant to with those things, you know?
Yeah, I feel like we've had a very long and prosperous relationship.
Yeah, longer than either of those things happened.
But
yeah.
Yeah, fuck them. Who needs them? Not me. I got everything I need right here.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Little walk down memory lane for our listeners there. Hope you enjoy that. Otherwise, we have some graps to talk about. Again, I feel so out of habit for this. But man, I've been away and whatever, and now like we've got so many of these matches of the week that are piled up, and it could have been an easier decision for me to just be like, you know what, we're just starting with the current one of the week that we're at, and whatever gets missed. I'm far too much of a completionist to allow for such things. So we'll be ticking off two today, and then I think I've still got another four to get caught up on. So we'll see what I do in the coming weeks. But at least for these two, it's been cool going back to them, rewatching them in preparation for this chat. Feels like a bloody lifetime ago when I watched that CMLL anniversary show this past year with that fantastic four-way mask elimination match. Rewatching that just was such a delight, and somehow it was even better than I remember. And then same for this terrific Gladiator Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka match. That was the main event of the last of the wrestling club events. So I am very excited to chat about both of these with you, my friend. And I'm looking forward to seeing just out of the blue, what were your initial takeaways of this duo of matches?
Well, I hadn't seen the anniversary. I watched that match from the anniversary show. I'm pretty sure I've watched a match from it though. But yeah, because it wasn't too long ago. It wasn't that long ago.
It officially was September, which seems wild. Seems like it was a lot longer time ago than just merely September. But yeah.
I remember I was going to try and wait so we could see if we could try and watch it together. But I think it's just one of those things where life just gets in the way and gets away from you. But, I was so excited to watch it. Getting to see my man Hechicero in a Mask versus Marsh match.
Oh, man. The one thing I'll say about that show, if you're talking about that show as a whole, you can safely be like, this was the main event of the show.
Yeah.
Do not watch anything further on this show after this match finishes. I still, just such a puzzling decision for them to have been like, you know what? We've got this incredible, massive, special mask versus mask apuestas match that everyone really cares about, and we're going to main event the show bringing in Chris Jericho. like Jericho, probably unlike most other people these days, but man, that match was not it, and that match should not have been in the main event position.
I'm going to say, after watching this match and looking down and then still seeing time on the clock for like the rest of the show, I was like, they're not going to, nothing's going to follow this. Whatever follows this is going to be questionable. But now, that's not fun to hear, but still. I'm just happy that Ran Hedgesaro put her on a great match.
Oh, man. And I love this because in addition to it being such like a spotlight on Hedgesaro and how fucking amazing Hedgesaro is, and I honestly feel like of all the great shit he's had this year, he's probably my wrestler of the year at this point. I don't think anyone's had a more impressive year than Ray Hedgesaro. But I mean, I thought this was so awesome for Euphoria. Like, he's been a dude that I've been a fan of like for quite a while, but he's always been like the backup player, you know. He was always part of like Los Guerreros, you know, teaming with Ultimo Guerrero and Gran Guerrero, or you know, he's always been one of those real solid rudos that just carries things, but he doesn't look that spectacular in and of himself because I guess that's not his role. So it's so cool to see, you know, him in a spot like this where it's like, it's kind of celebrating, you know, him. And also, I was not prepared for once that mask came off that he is a little bit of an older gentleman than I would have thought with the mask on, you know?
But I think that's just one of those things in, like, Lucha Libre. It's the longevity of the wrestlers. Mm. Like, their wrestling style... because they wrestle so often, they wrestle like, and they just wrestle for years on end, and that's a job where they can just keep going and going because they do take care of each other because of the style of it. It's not like a British strong style or Japanese strong style, all that kind of stuff. It's different. It's its own like flavor of wrestling, and then it allows the wrestlers to perform for it.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not the big like hard hitting, you know, let's headbutt each other, let's head kick each other like 40 times in a row. There's like, there's a lot more art to it, or there's their own kind of art in it. I really like seeing it. I really like it. Means more to me doing like a mask versus mask match. For wrestlers like that who have built their career for so long, and then, you know, and then they get celebrated at the end like that. Like, you look out of the crowd, and there's one point where, I don't know if it's his mum or something, or it might be his wife. I don't know, his Euphoria seems like he's got a couple of years under his belt, but where they're crying, like, the audience is crying, because they're so invested in these people, because... You know, their mask has been part of them. You know, some of those kids will have that mask up on their wall.
It's their identity.
You see his mask come off and you see, like, you know, he's not exactly a youthful guy, but it makes me feel, like, really happy that the guy's been able to do what he loves up until, and, like, obviously still going.
Yeah.
But
do what he loves. Level.
Yeah, like... No, it's bloody great. I love seeing it. I love seeing when the mask comes off and you see like a guy who's like, you know, wrestled his years. I think it's really great. And then like, you know, losing your mask to Hedgesaro, that's like, you know, there's no better way to let go of it. I mean,
exactly.
How many people would you rather give it up to? Like, imagine him or like someone like Atlantis. Like, you know, you'd be bloody honored.
I think what you said there. I think the idea of a mask match, like you in the rest of the world of wrestling, you know, it's like you wrestle for a belt and that's a big deal. But like that's, you know, any belt is nothing compared to like winning a guy's identity. You know, like to me that the bounds of like a big apuestas like mask matches is so much bigger than like any championship match in the rest of wrestling. So it's just one of those reasons where, yeah, mask matches are always so special to watch, and I love them.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's like mask versus hair, all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
you're literally, like, changing someone's identity for the future. Like, you know, they're never going to put that mask back on. They might, you know, they might grow their hair out, they might do something else, but you're changing, like, a person's mask. You're changing a person's identity for
the rest of their career, essentially.
Yeah, like it's got consequences. It's like a real, real significant, you know, thing. And there's an actual commission that upholds the rules that these dudes aren't allowed to wrestle in that mask again anymore. You know, sometimes they'll give special exceptions, like some of those special matches that Blue Panther has had this year, where they've allowed him to put the mask back on for that match. But yeah, generally speaking, it's like you are not actually allowed to do that, and I think that's another thing that makes it feel so impactful. But one of the other wild things in the post match of this, I guess we're talking about the end before the start, but whatever, we're free flowing kind of dudes.
Okay.
This
is one of those Donnie Darko moments where you know he's going to die at the end, and then go all the way through it anyway.
Yeah, we work out how we ended up here. Like the post match, especially with his do you know Sobrano Jr. is his son?
No.
Yeah.
No. They're all fucking wearing masks, Chris.
So I assume the lady in the crowd was probably maybe Sobrano Jr.'s mum, maybe Euphoria's lady mum, baby mum, or whatever, I don't know. But that was another really cool bit at the post-match, of like that moment between like a father and son, and you know, Sobrano Jr. was giving his dad a hug and, you know, helping him like get through it, and, you know, sort of taking a moment to breathe, to sort of soak up this special moment. As well, I noticed Mephisto was there. I'm not sure what part of the family he is, but if anyone cares to look up, is it Lucha DB? Lucha Wiki, that's it. Lucha Wiki is a fantastic resource if you want to see the crazy elaborate web of which luchadors are related to one another.
I hope he's just like the devil looming. He's no relation whatsoever. It's just always there.
Yeah, why not?
Just looming.
Bloody not. I think this match as well, so a real spotlight for Hechicero too, who, like we said, had a fantastic year. And he was a dude, like, a while ago when I was, like, really watching CMLL pretty closely, you started seeing this dude, Hechicero, and he'd just, like, get little bits here or there. I think he was a big name and maybe more of, like, the Mexican independent scene. He was like quite involved with a company called like Lucha Memes and some other stuff like that. And he was this dude that just did this amazing like Yave style wrestling. But he was it took him a long time for him to sort of like become a main dude in CMLL. He was sort of like a dude that was like celebrated by the hardcores. But he's never quite pushed as much as like you know, a guy like Roosh or Dragon Lee, or Volador Jr., or Mystico, or, you know, all of these kind of names. So he really, like, worked his way up, and it felt, I think that's why now we see, like, these incredible crowd reactions to him, because that crowd has been on the journey as well. Like, I don't know, probably some similarities to be drawn with, Bryan Danielson, and him finally getting to that top position in WWE back in the day, after being like sort of this like hardcore kind of fan favorite. But yeah, I think it's really cool to finally now see Hechicero get his flowers, and especially like all through this match, there's Hechicero chants, and then even into the main event that we shouldn't bother speaking about too much more. That whole match with Jericho and Mystico was just full of Hechicero chants, which is pretty bloody awesome.
Oh, mate, I just but this is what I love. Like, you know, there's the wrestlers who are like iconic, they have their big names like Chris Jericho, and it's still the wrestlers that are like on the underside of the card that are just like the homegrown namestays, that they're just like, no, these are the guys we love, these are the ones we want to see.
Yeah,
you know, and then they put on the match like that. Like, that would have been impossible to follow.
Yeah,
like it had everything. Like, it had an amazing like free-for-all like Lucha Libre at the start, with all these, everyone kind of exhibiting like their athleticism, everyone kind of getting like a couple of their moves in. Like, I'm pretty sure like Hechicero hit like a little couple of cool crucifix takedowns in there.
Sweet. So in addition to both of these guys, before we get talking about too much, this was a what do they call it? A quadrilangular, just bastardized that. Questus match, Mascara contra Mascara. The deal is it's like a four-way. And so to actually be in the big Questus match at Arena Mexico on the biggest show of the year is like a massive honor, right? So the way this works is we have a four-way, and all four men want to be in that Questus match. But not everyone can be in the Questus match. So you basically have to win the preliminary match. The other guys get eliminated. And then the winners go on to have the honor of being, having their mask on the line against one another. So the other two gentlemen that we had in this, in addition to Hechicero and Euphoria, was Esfinge and Valiente. And Valiente is another dude that, like, from when I first started watching CMLL, he's been one of my long-time favorites. I think he's been around for a long time. I think it's honestly amazing that he can still do the stuff that he was pulling off in this match. I think a lot of people were thinking going into this match, this was Euphoria's time. This was Valiente's time when he was finally gonna drop the mask while he was still able to. I think this ended up being a big old surprise. But the actual match before we got down to the final two was bloody awesome as well.
Yeah, just an amazing exhibition of like all their talents. Like you saw Valiente's like amazing dives. I love how hard he hits them.
Yeah.
I absolutely love, like, I'm all for like wrestling safety and then having flashy things in there as opposed to, you know, just getting balls to the wall and just trying to kill yourself. But Valiente's dive, especially, like, he's a nugget of a human being.
Oh, man. I was going to say, it's almost like there's so much more satisfying because he's just such a chunky monkey.
He's just a he's a cannibal of a human being. But, but like, him doing that, and then, like, a Sphinxhe, obviously very, very athletic and very good on the ropes. An amazing mask as well. Like, I love a Sphinxhe's look. It's just, like, something that's a little bit different. Mm. And then, just watching, like, I think you see, like, how good Hechicero is throughout the whole match. Like, he's guiding the whole match. Like, in my opinion, in my eyes, he's the one that's, like, mainly in the ring. He's guiding people around the ring. He's interjecting with all this. He's doing his – I absolutely love his little crucifix takedown thing where he just, like, he'll just pop up, crucifix takedown, move some out of the way, the next person running with their spot. They do their bit, and then he'll, like, you know, he'll break it up. He'll reposition the ring. He'll give everyone chances to do the dives, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's just like an absolute ring general, which is amazing to see because it's different. Like, different seeing like a ring general in like American wrestling, like, you know, because you see the, like, whatever they do, the fucking Royal Rumbles or whatever, where you see someone clearly like guiding it and like, you know, oh, you go here, do your spots here. It works so much better in Lucha Libre, where it's just like, right, we need one person controlling the flow of this match, like controlling the floodgates, what goes where and how fast it comes out. You see how good Hechicero is. And obviously the other guys as well, just like, yep, listen to him, do what he's saying. Let's go here.
Yeah. I was so impressed by, I think, all three of the most senior guys in this match. Like, from, I think, Valiente surprised me that he was still able to pull out the stuff that he could, because he had a long time off during COVID, I'm pretty sure, where he was like completely inactive for like a year and a half. Like, I think he got a different job, or I don't know what the deal was, but you didn't see him for a long time. And then he finally came back, and I think a lot of his, I don't know how old he is, but he's been around for a long, long time. I think a lot of people had maybe a little bit lower expectations of what he was capable of anymore. He far exceeded those expectations. Yeah, I thought like Euphoria looked fantastic for all of this stuff and like making everyone else look so good. But also, when you actually get to see him on his own sake, he's just a super impressive dude. And not like I need to say anything good about Hechicero. I think of all four, it was probably Esfinge that I was maybe not that impressed by it, but I mean, at the same time, it's like you just look at comparable levels of experience in this, and I think for his level, he did pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah, he Like I was pretty impressed with him being able to. I can imagine, like, not stress. That's not what I'm looking for, but the, like, the pressure, I suppose.
Oh yeah. I don't think he's ever been like in like a basically a biggest main match of the year in Mexico. So it's a lot of pressure to put on the shoulders,
and especially being in like the opening part of like someone else's mask versus mask match. Like, you want the whole match to be like perfect, but this person's like, you know, big celebration of their Lucha Libre life before they lose their mask. You know, you want to be like the best person you can be. So there's like that added pressure, but I think he did all right. There was like a couple of little bits where, just as like any wrestler feels, where they're just like two steps out of position or something doesn't go as fast. I mean, it's a bit more dynamic than Valiente is, so I think there was like a bit of a hiccup there, in one of their spots. But like, still, like, I think of all of them, like, I was super impressed by all of them. He was like, I wouldn't say the weak link in it, but, you know, he still did really well. It's just, just looking at the caliber of the other guys.
Yeah, for sure. And on when I did the rewatch of this one, because I remember just being, you know, in love with this match when I watched it initially. But then when I rewatched it, the thing that really stood out to me was like, this match was awesome and had cool stuff going on and was like, just made you glued to the screen. Like, from start to finish. And for a match that, like, I don't have the official deets here, but I feel like this match went at least, like, 40, 45 minutes from start to finish. Like, that's a bloody accomplishment to constantly have you glued to the screen, bring in your attention, have you caring about what's going on, and it somehow just kept going up and up and up. And just building to the absolute perfect crescendo at the end, where Euphoria finally taps out to Hechicero.
Yeah, but there's so many fun little details in this match. Like, one my favorite thing was just waiting for another Valiente dive. Like, I'm just like, oh, hit another one, please. I was just like, come out of that rope like cannon. I was just watching for Euphoria's power bombs the whole time. I was just like, of all the moves in Lucha Libre, like, it stands out so much. Like, if you're not, if you hadn't watched like other wrestling, you would just say like, that is like one of the biggest moves in Lucha Libre. Like, that's all the most hard, impactful move. It's just like a sudden stop.
It just looks so painful, dude. Like, on this ring that pretty much feels like concrete. Like,
there's like no movement in the ring. There's no like whoa, 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 whoa. It's just bang. It's just slap. It's like, you know, when you hear someone's like, you hear someone like hit their head against the wall, and there's like, there's no give in the wall. It's just like that's just like a dull side. You just see that with someone's body, and it's just especially like the top rope ones.
Yeah.
Like, as we move into when it as we move into like Valiente and Esfenke, getting eliminated, and you work your way into the mask versus mask patch. But there's like three power bombs in there. There's like top rope power bombs. There's just like a standing power bomb, which is just stiff as hell. And poor Hechicero has to cop all of those, but it's just like some. Also, another favorite bit of mine is a huge spoiler by the way, but Hechicero taking his straps off and then about 5 minutes later putting them back on. He's like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that, actually. But and then just seeing like seeing the dynamic between the two, I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, amazing chemistry between Euphoria and Hechicero. Like, yeah. I wasn't necessarily expecting that these would be the final two in the match, like, given all the other stuff with Valiente and everything. So it was such a nice surprise that it was, because, yeah, these guys just have such a great dynamic together, like, both doing the rad Yave submission kind of stuff. But then, like, ramping it up to, you know, we even right down the finishing stretch, we got some pretty bloody sick, like, punches between them, like, where it sort of, like, escalated. Yeah. From the sort of like technical kind of clinic to being more of like a heated, hate-filled thing, and the tearing of the masks and everything. Yeah, that's what I mean about like that ramping up of the match and the heat of the match. I thought was so good, and man, like I almost forget to say how bloody crazy hyped and heated the crowd was as well. That
yeah,
dude, that like finally getting to go to Arena Mexico and experience that in person is still going to be like such a bucket list item for me. I gotta do it.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be amazing. It's just the passion behind it as well, and the support for the luchadors.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. So we've got our piece of art.
Oh yes.
Chris's piece of art for this match.
I had a tough time picking the moment for this one, dude. But sometimes when you have a big mask match, you got to pick that big moment, you know? That's the thing that happens at home at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's great. I think it's just like, I know you've got a very particular art style, and then, you know, most of the time, like, the faces that you paint are, like, you know, either covered in blood or, like, grimaced, all that kind of stuff. But I think Euphoria's face you caught very well in this. Like, of course, the wisdom and age.
He just has such an interesting face.
He does. He does have a very interesting face. But yeah, I think you caught it really well. It's kind of like the pride in it, but also like the disappointment of losing his mask. But also, you know, he's obviously got everyone cheering for him. But yeah, this looks great. It's Hechicero having his hand raised by Euphoria after Hechicero takes off his mask. Hechicero takes off Euphoria's mask. So, very, very good.
Thank you. One of the things I really was tickled by in that last frame is that obviously, you know, Euphoria is unmasking, and it's a big emotional moment for him. It's, you know, probably quite sad in some ways. But if anything, in that moment, it looked like Hechicero was more sad somehow.
Yeah.
Like, to be the winner, like, I guess he's there seeing, you know, this guy shed so much of his identity for him, you know? So maybe that's a big kind of special deal. But, yeah, there was a part where it was just, like, such a sadness in the winner, in Hechicero, that I was like, I need to try to capture that. So that's probably the main thing that I look at when I look at this illustration. I'm like, that poor sad winner, Hechicero.
Yeah. I did notice you gave him like massive puppy dog eyes. but it's true. It's like, you know, it must be difficult. It's like, I suppose that you can equate it to like gladiatorial combat when you're forced to take the life of someone you might have been training and fighting with for years. You know, again, you're changing their identity. You're changing their identity forever after doing that.
Yeah, you're not quite having to lop their head off, but, you know. No. Similar.
Same shit. Same shit, Chris.
And the other thing I had to include the tremendous, very unique-looking referee that is Edgar Noriega. I just love his entire vibe, and sometimes I include the referees in these things, sometimes I don't, but just the enormous referee and very, very cool style of Edgar Noriega, I thought I had to include there as well.
Yeah, I do love like notable points throughout the match where he was just getting more and more intense as the match was, which is great to see from referees, how they're invested in it as well. When the two were exchanging points at one, or exchanging strikes at one point, it became closed-handed punches. Mm-hmm. And he's getting in there. He's like, no punching, no punching. He's trying to like pull them away from each other. Like he's getting invested in it.
He's such a good referee.
Like the ending of it. Yeah, like when he finally did count to three and he was like fucking jumped up and he's just like, winner, winner, winner. It's just like, oh, God. It's like, it adds to the whole dynamic of it. Like, referee is always the third person in the match. And then, so, you know, they get invested in it.
Yeah.
It's always good when they love it as well. So, yeah, no, he did a great job.
Absolutely. And I'll never not love the referee bow tie look. You know, fancy show, got a time to dress up. Love it.
Yeah, You did very well. Thank you. That was a great match.
I agree. I highly recommend everyone check it out. It's not cheap to do so. I had to pay for the tippy top level subscription of CMLL's YouTube deal for this show and this match. Costs like $50 for the month.
Fuck.
I normally just go up when there's a big show and then, you know, bring it back down to that base level in between big shows. So you're only doing that a couple times a year, so you know, I figure it, and for a match like this, I would say this match is worth $50 in and of itself. So
I think would you equate it to like, yeah, if you equate it to like, you know, when you're a kid and you're watching like the what is it called, WrestleMania.
Mm.
And you know, you're like, you know, you get your parents to pay for the pay per view, and you're like, please, Dad, I don't feel like this. You can do this yourself. You can go, oh, please, me, pay for this. I want to treat myself.
It's a little gift for yourself.
Yeah. Go on. It can be an early Christmas present. Christmas present to yourself. Yeah. Unfortunate about the rest of the show, apparently, but.
There was some other good stuff on this show. There was an awesome match with Mascara Dorada and Titan. That was super fun. A couple other tags that were real good. So don't let the bad stuff scare you off. There was some tremendous stuff on this show, and one of I would say on rewatch, I'm like, this might be my favorite match that I've seen this year. So pretty lofty praise there. But now. We move on. On the subject of gnarly powerbombs, we continue to a match and feud that I would say probably the coolest powerbombs in the history of wrestling. Yes, we are back to the Gladiator Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka, this being probably their most epic of their FMW matches in Japan, from the legendary Kawasaki Stadium, the home of all of the massive big FMW shows back in the day, before 50,000 and 12 fans, I'm told, for the Brass Knuckles Heavyweight and Independent Heavyweight Double Championship. There are a few matches into their rivalry at this point. Tanaka has not been able to conquer the Gladiator just yet. September 28th, 1997, this match, I adore.
Yeah, I remember we watched this match, I think when you were still, before I moved in with you, just before I moved in with you, and before we moved to West End, I remember we watched like a couple of Mike Awesome and Tanaka matches in a row.
Because their ECW matches ruled so hard as well.
That was just like amazing. There was that massive, like, in that there's the similar to this with the signature move and the piece of artwork here, but this is just like a grueling match between two people who, if you couldn't guess, just like go absolutely balls to the fucking wall with everything they do. Like Masato Tanaka has like some of the best forearms in the game, and also Mike Awesome just powerbombing the living fuck out of people.
Mike Awesome's offense, just some of the most fun, awesome offense that any wrestler has ever had. Like between big, massive strikes, like crazy dives, amazing powerbombs, powerbombing people off the top rope. Like he was a beast. I do not understand how anyone does not think Mike Awesome was incredible.
I was going to say, if you like outsiders' edges, frog splashes, and then power bombs. You'll see them all within, I think it's about a minute and a half, all performed by Mike Awesome. Literally, like, you know how you think, you know, when you're coming up as a wrestler and you're just like thinking like, oh, what moves do I want to do in an order? I want them to make sense. I want them to be cool. You know, I'll do this and this and this will follow into this. That's a cool little setup. Nah, just do the biggest moves you can think of. Just do the biggest fucking things. Just do the most impactful things. Going like, you know, I'm going to do a bloody shooting star press, and then I'm going to give them a pile driver. Then I'm going to try and execute them. But, like, that was this match. It's just them bringing out the biggest things they can do, because this is, like, a true rivalry.
Yeah. And this was an insane match. Like, I equate it to, like, one of those awesome, like, B-grade thriller movies that we used to watch back in the day. These tremendous, like, 70s thrillers that are just that are still what was that the fucking Rolling Thunder with Tommy Lee
Rolling
Jones.
Thunder. Oh, Tommy Lee Jones, yeah.
One of my all time favorite movies. This is like a wrestling match version of that. It's like there's not a lot of subtlety going on. It's just a fucking wild thrill ride, minute to minute. But more importantly than anything else, it has an amazing build throughout it, and it teases shit, like, more than you would expect. Like, you look at it in some ways, and you're like, that was just throwing everything against the wall with no rhyme or reason. But when I watch it closely, one of the things that really stands out to me is Tanaka really, like, building up him going for that powerbomb. Like, and
yeah.
And he goes for that powerbomb so many times early on in the match, in the early portion, and it leads to bad things for him. He can't pull it off. And then finally, he eventually gets this fucking powerbomb, and you could not think of in more epic fashion for him to finally hit the powerbomb than giving an awesome bomb to Michael Awesome over the top rope through this tiny, very painful-looking table. Fuck, man. Incredible.
He just absolutely axes him. Like, it's... He just throws him out of the ring. To be honest, it's not even a powerbomb. He just goes, fuck off, dumps him out of the ring. The landing Mike Awesome takes is just somewhat gruesome, but it's part of the match. It's part of the build-up to the match. It's just these things aren't hitting clean. Like, there's one point in the match where Tanaka comes off the ropes. He just fires back coming off the ropes and then just throws this like wicked lariat. Just throws his arm out, and it's not a clean hit. Like, he doesn't hit all of Mike Awesome, but it's like enough to where Mike Awesome has just gotten up off the floor, just like stumbles and then topples over. Like, just the sheer like force of having Tanaka run through him. But it's great in this match because you see when Tanaka goes for things, Mike Awesome just punishes him.
Yeah.
He's trying to keep him down. He's trying to stop Tanaka from winning. He's trying to stop Tanaka getting his first win over him. He's just punishing him. Everything Tanaka does, he's just like, no, you weren't fast enough with that punch you hit. No, you didn't hit me harder with that. Here's another power bomb. Like, just an amazing build to, yeah, eventually Tanaka just hitting off these power bombs, of which he hits a couple.
Yeah, and he hits some gnarly ones in the ring too, like some like
yeah.
Kawada looking fucking nasty boy power bombs.
Yeah,
I always love those ones where the guys like come down to like one knee kind of thing. It's like,
yeah, yeah, one of the final power bombs in the match. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I think it's like what you're saying. A lot of my favorite wrestling now, I think, when I go back and watch stuff, it's the stuff that's a little bit rough around the edges. That feels more real and more substantial and more authentic than so much of the stuff we see these days that is just so clean and everything's hit like perfectly or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's just a lot more passionate and organic. I feel like it feels like people are actually bringing this from a fight place, like just like, I want to hit you with this, I want to make this hurt. You know, I want to win this match. I want to, and then it becomes more than, well, sometimes it goes the opposite way where it's just like, you know, I want to win this match, but more so like, I want to make you hurt, you know.
Yeah.
I want to make you feel these power bombs. I'm not just doing them and then going straight for a pin. But, you know, you watch it, yeah, all throughout this match, you're just seeing two guys just like from the get-go, like it literally starts off with like shoving and then just straight into chops and then forearms and, you know, and then shoulder checking each other, and then you're seeing how hard they're trying to run to each other with the shoulder checks. But like, you know, neither of them going down, both of them just like fighting back the whole time. And then yeah, it eventually works up to the fact that they're both just throwing power bombs at each other. Like, Mike Awesome takes his awesome bomb through the table.
I mean, we have the bit earlier when Mike Awesome does that gnarly, like a seated powerbomb to Tanaka to the outside on the two tables, which was bloody crazy.
That was crazy.
That was one that was close to being my illustration that looked so sick. Like, kind of the just looking at the wreckage after that happens of just like both dudes lying, like broken table all around. That was very close to being it.
That's like the longest pause in the whole match. Like after that.
Which is just goes to show like how they do make an effort to sell this stuff, right? You hear people talk about like the Mike Awesome Masato Tanaka matches, and they're like, "Oh, no selling, you know, it's the biggest thing." But any good, you know, no selling, like a lot of people say the same thing about Kawada, right? It's like it makes it by the selling that happens in between the no selling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, and it's the threshold as well. Like, these guys are taking like heavy hitting moves, they're taking a lot of offense, but it's like a move has to be over a certain like degree of wickedness before they'll like stop and go, no, that really hurt, like there was really a lot of impact in that. And then points like this are what kind of emphasize and highlight it, like taking those massive moves from the outside or to the outside through like tables and all that kind of stuff. Like, this is the degree these two wrestlers are on, this is the degree their rivalry's on, where I have to take like the biggest of the big moves in order to even slow them down. Like, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And that's what like adds to the match so much. It's just like, it's not just, oh, we're just throwing these moves at each other. They've had a rivalry. They've had, you know, they've been in matches against each other. They know these other like smaller things won't work. They're not going to like pants around and like chain wrestle. They're not going to go for wrist locks, all that kind of stuff. They're just going to go for what works, which is just, you know, essentially attempting to kill the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, that's just like that. No, we're just going for the kill shot.
Yeah, I think this one coming after like their previous match that they just had was just a bloody banger. In Corican Hall, which, you know, very different atmosphere. Corican Hall versus like a big massive baseball stadium like Kawasaki Stadium. So each one has a bit of a different kind of like vibe to it, but this one does a great job also of like building off of that previous one and escalating it to the next level, which is super cool when you watch the Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka rivalry like match by match. So that was the reason why, you know, I had that previous one and one of the previous wrestling clubs, and then, you know, I thought, all right, we're gonna do this one, but there's no other position, then you have to put it on last. And I was just so stoked with the idea of getting to share something like Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka with like people that might not have ever seen that before. Like, that's really what Wrestling Club is meant to be. Like, just showing this freak show shit to people who, you know, might not have seen anything like that before. And it was one of those ones where, yeah, you saw everyone sort of like, well, watching it, kind of like, I felt like people were getting invested and going down that finishing stretch, it did seem like everyone was so stoked when Masato Tanaka finally pulls out the win. And the cool thing is that I even love the finish looking back. You know, you'd think, wouldn't it make sense to end on like a big powerbomb or something like that? But I think it was like even better and more organic the way they did it, where he hits those series of rolling forearms. And that last one was just so perfect. And then his momentum just falls into the pin. Like, that is the real shit, man. Incredible. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's just like, you know, you see all these amazing power bombs throughout the match, which I think is like the signature move of this match. It's just like both of them attempting to like really hurt the other person. And then, hits the power bomb, attempts to lift him up for something else. Mike kind of comes out of it, goes to kick him, and then he just like knocks the boot away, rolls into this amazing forearm, and organically just like falls into this pin. It's like there's the seconds there that count, like he's just managed to overcome him. And it's one of those things, like if he didn't hit the pin there and then, would Mike have had the second to recover? And then, so it's just because it all happens so fast, you're just like, well, that is actually like the perfect ending. Like, you've only got these tiny windows in order to pin this caliber of opponent and this kind of rival. So I thought it was an amazing finish to the match.
And it was like he didn't even decide to pin him. It was just like he kind of like fell out of exhaustion into the pin, which was even better. And then the way they sold the victory too. of it being like such a massive moment for Tanaka to finally have gotten the win over this, you know, rival of years, I believe, up to this point. You know, and looks like he's really like, you know, gotten a massive victory and it like really means something to him. Like I thought they both sold it so well in the post match as well.
And again, no belt involved. Just two dudes.
There were actually two belts involved.
Yeah. But not about the belts. It's not about the belts.
It was more about the interpersonal about men. History, right?
No, yes. It's about the rivalry. Fuck the belts.
Yes.
Title matches are bad matches. I mean, I like some title matches. But it's about the rivalries, which is just so much more important to me. Like a rivalry build like this, where they're just like, no, I just want to hurt the guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the belts. It's about the rivalry.
You're right. And the other thing about this one was, so this ended up being number 52 of my matches of the week. So this was the one that rounded out the full year of doing this match of the week deal every week, making sure I'm posting it every bloody Friday morning here in Brisbane, and doing that every single week. So getting to the final one, I kind of wanted to finish on a high. I wanted it to be like a match that did feel special or had like a special significance. And then also knowing, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm going to be, you know, probably doing this little bookie wook thing here. So it's kind of like the last bit of the book too. So I wanted it to be a good one. So I hope it was in terms of the artwork, but at the very least, it's a, you know, a match that is very and a rivalry that is very special to me. So we'll see how we go, how any of the future matches might be part of the match of the week or wrestling club or whatever. You'll have to stay tuned. But bloody love me some Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, R.I.P. Mike Awesome. The fucking amazing wrestler. Sad to see him go. But yeah, this series of matches, this series of rivalry is amazing. I was wondering, Chris, on your wrestling club, have you done the Ricky Marvin against Kenta yet?
I did. That was on the first one, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
That was starting it off.
See, that, I feel like that is like, if you're looking for like intensity over short bursts.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
That's the match that I say, like, you know, that bullshit of like, everyone's like, oh, what match would you show your, you know, someone who's never watched wrestling before? And these assholes out here, like, talking about Okada versus fucking Kenny Omega, like, long bloody matches, like, get the fuck out of town. Like, the match that I would show anyone who's never watched wrestling before is Ricky Marvin versus Kenta in just the craziest 3 to 5 minute match you've ever seen in your life.
Mate, it's over and done before you blink, but they pack so much into it. There's genuinely their entire movesets are in this match. Just for like 3 fucking minutes. It's great. So many crazy dives, so many crazy hits.
I definitely think we'll have definitely be having more Kenta in the wrestling club, I would say.
I feel like you gotta build a villain in the wrestling club.
This is true. And also it's about my taste, right? So I'm fucking making sure every wrestling club has a Terry Funk match in there, one way or the other.
it's gotta have Terry Funk in it. Yeah. Throw some Hacks or Jim Duggan in there for me.
Ooh, there was a pretty bloody incredible Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Buzz Sawyer match that I saw recently, so that maybe that can be part of it. But
I was actually thinking of that today because one of the streets I'm working on today is Sawyer's Lee, so I was thinking of like Sawyer versus Duggan, and I was just like, should I watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recommend it. It's a tremendous match.
It's just small things. Every so often you'll drive past like a street here. Just remind me of a wrestling match or something we've seen together. I'm like, oh, I should rewatch that. Oh, I should look at that. I should text Chris about that. Yeah. Old Jim Duggan.
Please, anytime you watch a Tenryu match, please let me know.
Yes. Good old Tenryu.
And that goes for everyone at home too. Anytime anyone watches a Tenryu match, please let me know what it was. just give me notice. I'd like to know.
Just keep me in the loop. What are your opinions on it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I had social media and anyone's out there watching Nakajima matches, let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Send me a message.
Exactly.
I always want to know about my boy.
Yeah. In lieu of that, send me a message so that I can send it to David, and then David can send his response, and I'll get it back to you. You know, we'll make this work.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. That's probably the easiest way to work this out.
But I don't think there's anyone that I would have wanted to have on to talk about Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka more than you, my dude. So I'm glad we got to do that together.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's always lovely. It's always a great chat. It's always a great way to wake up, some coffee and some wrestle chats.
Prepare you for a big day of renovating kitchens. Is that what you've got lined up today?
One of them's a kitchen, the other one's a bathroom, so we'll see how we go.
Okay.
See if I get one.
Keep me posted.
See if I get both of them. Or none. Yeah.
Well, just approach it with the bombastic nature of a Mike Awesome and the fighting spirit of a Masato Tanaka.
Well, I do have to riff it apart before I put it back together, so we'll see.
Maybe you can smash part of it over one of your fellow workers' heads like Mike Awesome did with this fucking table.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I can put the client through the kitchen countertop.
That sounds fun.
Should do it. All right, mate.
All right.
It's been good.
Yo, yeah, thanks so much, man. I always enjoy getting to chat some wrestles with you. And, keep me posted on whatever else you watch, or if you ever end up watching one of these matches of the week, and we'll talk about it again.
Will do. Sounds good. Righty-roo, mate. I'm off.
See you next time, my friend. Farewell.
All right. I'll see you soon, brother.
Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. There we go. What a bloody fine chat with that my dear pal David. I love. So when I call David, it's generally my afternoons. His early mornings. He's getting ready for work. So I don't know if y'all have noticed, but because he most of the time he's like making his breakfast, having his coffee. He's doing things while he's doing the show. And it just makes me smile, the different background noise that we get. The height of professionalism here on Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I hope you expect nothing less. But yeah, that made me happy. You know, it's I don't know if you guys have, you know, long term friends that are, you've been wrestling buds for a while, but it's something just so nice, especially when you have that like nostalgia of stuff that you remember hanging out and watching together. It's a special thing, and that's what I'm trying to do, you know, with this podcast. That's what I'm trying to do with you guys. I'm trying to share that. I'm trying to make you part of it. You guys, you are my wrestling buddies. So again, if you ever wanna send a message. You ever want to tell me what you've been watching? If you ever want to, you know, send me like an audio grab of something that you think might be relevant, I might just chuck it on the podcast. I don't know. We'll see what's up. Anyway, I'm grateful. Even if you guys just want to listen to this and feel part of it that way, that's pretty darn cool too. But I'd like to say a big thank you again to you for everyone who's listened to this, who after our bit of a break, who came back and was like, you know what, I actually want that in my life again. You know, you didn't have that break. Like, yeah, I'm done. But yeah, appreciate it. I appreciate Social Suplex. They give me the platform to do this show. Socialsuplex.com, home to this podcast and a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts. From One Nation Radio to Keeping It Strong Style, Trish and Sarah podcast, All Things Elite, Imps WWE Adventure, Tunnel Talk. I think there's another old AEW match recommendation thing now. There's a lot of things. I can't keep track of it. But there's things there. Thanks, Social Suplex. Appreciate it. And yeah, again, thank you to everyone who supports me, who supports this show, who you know, even just liking and commenting and stuff on Instagram, so nice. But yeah, the people that like spend their money to support me blows me away, and it's just so nice. And yeah, it keeps me doing it. So thank you, appreciate it. And again, thank you to everyone who's pre-ordered the book. If anyone else is like, hey, damn, that's a book I want to get my hands on, christhings.com.au, jump on the website, you can get it on there. You can also get all of the Chris Things art prints, some originals. I do have a new calendar for 2025 that I haven't actually put up there yet, but that's on my to-do list. And yeah, all the things. So I think that's the end of the show here. The wheels have fallen off and I am tired and I have a whole another match of the week to do. So I think I'm going to call it a day. Thank you so much. And
farewell. Do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock. Do the hammer lock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammer lock.
Imagínate escuchar tu canción favorita como si fuera la primera vez. Te presentamos el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks con sonido Bose Personal Plus y bocinas en la parte superior de los asientos para crear una experiencia 360. Jamás has escuchado algo así. Reimagina tu música y tu forma de manejar. Descubre el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks en nissanusa.com. Función disponible. Bose es una marca registrada de The Bose Corporation.